find when reading a passage of Scripture that it can be helpful to pay attention to a word, a phrase, an idea that grabs my attention. And then reflecting on whatever it is that caught my attention can really be fruitful. And so I spent some time with today's gospel, and I kept coming back to one word in particular: glory. It's used multiple times in today's reading. We also hear it in the collect of the day and in the epistle. Glory is a word that we use a lot in the church. And I was reflecting how, for example, in the daily office, especially morning prayer, evening prayer, the psalms that we recite are concluded with glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. In the Eucharist, we sing the Gloria, that canticle, the song based on the angel's song to the shepherds in Bethlehem, glory to God in the highest. In our prayers, we ascribe glory to God, and we seek to glorify God's holy name. Now, glory is also a word, although not that commonly, I think, but also used in non-church settings. And it's about the praise, the honor bestowed on a person. In the world sense, one can attain glory through achievements that others recognize and celebrate. They can do so by having great wealth or celebrity. And this glory bestows on a person honorifics: special treatment, financial gain, media attention, crowds flocking to them. But at heart, this earthly glory is focused on an individual, on their accomplishments, on their ego, and maybe can be prideful. It's very different in Scripture, and particularly in John's Gospel, the word glory means something far different from that. In John's Gospel, Jesus is glorified because of who he is, because he is worthy of praise and worship, because of the great things that he accomplishes for humanity. He is worthy to be praised and honored. On this Sunday after Ascension Day, we celebrate Jesus taking our human nature to heaven to reign at the right hand of God. As our risen Savior, Jesus is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of being glorified. And the thing about glory with Jesus is, it doesn't point to himself. It points to the Father. It reminds us how he and the Father are one. How Jesus doesn't act on his own for his own gain. But what he does in his earthly life and ministry is the work that the Father has given him to do. And though he is worthy of glory and is in fact glorified, he doesn't use his glory for himself. He doesn't use it to feed his ego. He rejects the pride and the vanity of this world. Glory is simply who he is, his nature, and it reflects the glory of the Father. His glory is not his alone, but is rooted in relationship. And so much so that Jesus freely shares his glory with his followers. In today's gospel, we hear how glory is about Jesus doing God's will. This passage is taken from the last part of John's gospel, what's called the farewell discourse. It takes place at the Last Supper. And the discourse concludes with a prayer, it's fairly lengthy, that Jesus makes to the Father called the High Priestly Prayer. And the words that Jesus prays express profound intimacy between Jesus and the Father. And Jesus makes intercession to the Father for humanity. And he's praying just hours before he is betrayed, arrested, crucified, when he will be taken from his followers. And he is praying for them and praying that they will remain one after he is gone. Jesus asked to be glorified with the glory he had before the world existed. That brings us back to the very beginning of John's Gospel, to the prologue, where we hear that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word, present before time, present at the creation of all that exists. The one who comes, the eternal Word who enters into humanity, putting on human flesh, becoming a creature within the creation. And then after his resurrection, Jesus takes his human flesh with him, ascending into heaven and returning to the glory that was his before the creation of the world, the glory that is his as the second person of the Trinity. In his prayer, Jesus prays that we too know God. Now, we can sometimes think knowing God is about something intellectual, thinking the right things, having the right beliefs. But in John's Gospel, it's really about relationship. It's about being in relationship with God, spending time with God in prayer and worship, knowing God, having an experience of God. It's about trusting in God, knowing that God is the God who loves us. At his Last Supper, Jesus washes his disciples' feet, and when he does so, he gives them a new commandment, that they love one another as he loves them. His glory is found in love, and his love is defined by humble service, which is seen most profoundly on the cross. Because the glory of Jesus is expressed without any conditions, without reserve. It's love without counting the cost. In John's Gospel, in fact, the great moment of Jesus' glorification is not what we might think. It's not the resurrection. It's on the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus reveals his glory by his deep love. And living by love, Jesus goes willingly to the cross. He doesn't run from his suffering. He doesn't fight his persecutors. And even while he is dying, he loves. He prays that those who kill him will be forgiven. And so to know the Father and the Son is to know the truth that God is love. Love's not just an attribute of God. It is the very identity of God. And through baptism, we are incorporated into that identity of God. We literally put on Christ as our own identity, called to embody his love. We participate in the divine love of God. We are defined and identified by the love of God that is to shape and form and direct us. And so the glory of Jesus that he shares with the Father, he also shares with us. And it is the glory of living by love. Love that does not seek its own gain, that does not consider one person more important than another. Love that does not exclude. Love that's not even predicated on emotion. I love someone because they love me. It's not about how we feel about another. It doesn't have anything to do with someone's merit. It doesn't require reciprocity. This is love given freely to all, not earned, even if not returned. This is love simply reflecting the love of God for all people because we are children of God. It's love freely given because God first loved us. It's love generously given by God without our deserving it or earning it. And it is love that is selfless, emptying, divine love, that love of God we see in Jesus. And though Jesus ascends into heaven and is not physically present with humanity any longer, yet his love continues. His love abides with us. Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us even now. And the Holy Spirit brings us into all truth, keeps alive the message and call of Jesus in our hearts. The Spirit leads us in Jesus' way of love, shows us how to live this way of love. How to make Jesus known in the world by our words and our deeds. And through the Holy Spirit, we are drawn together into Christ's body. We are one with Jesus. We are connected with him. By the Spirit, we enter into the divine life of the Trinity, drawn into the community of love that is God. And it is this divine love, this divine life that we share now. And it's eternal life. But we experience it and live it right here on earth in this present moment. We are called as followers of Jesus to make the love of eternity real now, here, right where we are. In our lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear the account of Jesus ascending into heaven. And there's a great moment that always catches my attention. After Jesus is taken from the disciples, suddenly two men appear. They have white robes, and they ask, "Why are you standing there looking up into heaven?" After they're asked this, they stop looking up. They return to Jerusalem, and they devote themselves to prayer until the descent of the Holy Spirit 10 days later. That's our call. Not to stand just looking up to heaven, but we're called to lower our gaze and to look outward and around us, to see the world before us, to see the places where God calls us to go. Because we are sent by Jesus to make heaven real right here, in this place, to allow eternity to break into the present, to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit as we witness to God's love. And the Spirit will show us those we are called to serve. The Spirit will empower us with the gifts we need to do the acts of love that God calls us to undertake. The glory of Jesus rests on the fact that he shares that glory with us, and it's about the love he has for us, about the depths of his love shown by his dying on the cross, the way he puts aside his own will, his own well-being, and gives his life for love. That, too, is our call. We are called to live that high calling, to live by love, to offer ourselves in humble service to others. Through the Spirit, we are one with Jesus, and we are marked as his own for eternity. We are his body in the world. And I hope and I pray that all that we undertake is rooted in the love of God. May the glory of Jesus be revealed in our humble, loving service. May it shine through our lives in order to bring glory to God. Loving one another, we are witnesses to the power of God's love. In Jesus' way of love, God is glorified now and always. Amen.